When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On today's episode of the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast, I'm going to cover a couple of really, really common antibiotics. And I'm going to cover penicillin-type antibiotics. And specifically, I'm going to cover amoxicillin and also the combination of amoxicillin and clavulanate. So amoxicillin, sometimes referred to as amoxicillin and clavulanate combination, referred to as brand name Augmentin. And the mechanism of action of all penicillin-type antibiotics is that they ultimately inhibit bacterial cell wall formation. So as the bacteria is growing, producing its components and promoting growth, what the drug does is inhibit the production of the cell wall, which is obviously required for the bacteria to continue to grow and flourish. Now, it binds in the penicillin binding protein area or site of the cell wall. It's a very specific name there. So that was obviously made up by scientists that found out where they bind in there, and that name came about from that reason. So pretty easy to remember where that drug actually binds within the cell wall and as part of that cell wall formation. Now, I did mention one other drug, and that's clavulanate. So the only way this drug is available is in combination with amoxicillin, and again, that's in Augmentin. This drug actually inhibits bacteria from becoming resistant or helps reduce the chance that there's resistance to amoxicillin alone. And so bacteria, they produce these enzymes called beta-lactamases, and these beta-lactamases can serve a function to break down drugs that we're trying to use to kill them. So the bacteria can break down a drug like amoxicillin and be resistant to it. The clavulanate inhibits that beta-lactamase enzyme, and so that allows for amoxicillin to be more prevalent and do its thing in destroying those bacteria. So it really kind of broadens or extends the spectrum and amoxicillin's ability to destroy bacteria, which is the ultimate goal when we're treating bacterial infections with penicillin-type antibiotics. Amoxicillin and Augmentin are very good at working on gram-positive infections. So a few common uses where gram-positive infections might be prevalent: skin and soft tissue infections, ear infections. Amoxicillin is often the drug of choice there. Sinusitis is bacterial sinusitis is another common example there. Now remember, with ear infections, sinusitis, those upper respiratory tract infections, oftentimes many of those can be viral, and antibiotics are not effective against viral infections. I think clinical monitoring is an important piece to remember as a healthcare professional. And oftentimes, what you'll see is patients will start to respond pretty quickly if the medication is effective for treating an infection. You know, usually within 2 to 3 days, you should start seeing some clinical response. maybe upwards of 3 to 5 days. But, you know, if you get to that, you know, 4 or 5 day, 3, 4, 5 day range or beyond, and you're seeing no changes, it might be indicative of something else going on. Maybe it's a viral infection, or it may be indicative of the antibiotic not being that effective or not working for that type of infection, or maybe there's some resistance to that antibiotic going on. So clinical monitoring is really important. Two really big things I think about is temperature. So if we've got somebody that's spiked a temperature, which doesn't always happen depending upon the type of infection, but if we do have somebody that's had an elevated temp or a fever, that's certainly something we can monitor to assess to see if the patient is improving. Hopefully that comes back down to normal range if it was elevated. And then, of course, symptoms. You know, is the area getting smaller if we're treating a cellulitis? Are the symptoms of, you know, nasal drainage, coughing, whatever symptoms that the patient presented with, are those symptoms improving? So two really basic things to kind of think about when we're monitoring and assessing the use of antibiotics in general. Let's get into side effects here. With amoxicillin and with Augmentin, side effects, the most common side effect by far is GI. So it could be stomach upset, nausea, vomiting. Probably most common of all the GI side effects that I've seen in my practice is diarrhea from these antibiotics. So it's important to educate our patients about that. I'm typically going to recommend that patients take these medications with food. I have had patients take it without food and do okay with it. But I would say in general, from my experience, it seems to kind of ease any type of GI upset and diarrhea, or at least hopefully make it less pronounced if we do a little bit of food with that amoxicillin or Augmentin. There is some potential certainly for hypersensitivity type reactions, maybe a rash as far as the side effect profile goes with amoxicillin and Augmentin. Very, very important to document what exactly happened with that type of reaction, because we want to know if we can give that class or similar classes of medications going forward. So if patient does have a rash with one of these medications, document when that rash happened, how widespread it was, were there any other systemic symptoms with that. So an example there is, was there difficulty breathing? Was there respiratory problems where that may indicate a anaphylaxis type situation? Depending upon kind of that severity and what happens with that rash, it may or may not be appropriate in the future to try to reuse these medications. And obviously, we'd like to have more antibiotics at our disposal as a patient gets older and may need antibiotics in the future. We'd like to try to ensure that there isn't a life-threatening reaction, or that there is, and we truly can't reuse these antibiotics. So that would be my advice to you, is if you see a reaction, patients reporting a reaction, definitely get good documentation in place as to what happened. I've worked with a lot of patients that say they had a reaction to amoxicillin when they were a kid, but they can't remember what exactly happened. Well, it could be diarrhea, it could be stomach upset, it could have been an anaphylaxis situation. So document is so important when you come across these adverse drug reactions and or these allergic reaction type situations. A couple of pharmacokinetic principles I wanted to touch on with amoxicillin and Augmentin. Amoxicillin has a shorter half-life. So what that means is we're going to need to probably dose this a little more frequently. Amoxicillin is typically dosed 2 to 3 times per day. When you compare that to something like azithromycin, for example, which has a much longer half-life, we only have to dose that once a day, for example. So with that more frequent dosing regimen comes the chance for adherence concerns, missed doses, and that likelihood goes up when we've got to give a dose multiple times throughout the day. So that can be a minor challenge. Usually most patients are fine with that over a 10-day period, or a 5 or a 7 or a 10-day period. But it is something to keep in mind. If you are having a patient that isn't responding clinically, make sure that we actually don't have any adherence issues going on. Another important pharmacokinetic pearl that I did want to mention is you may want to keep an eye out for patients with CKD, chronic kidney disease, specifically severe renal impairment. So we're talking, creatinine clearance, GFR, in the range of 30 mils per minute or less. So that's pretty substantial. Or if you've got a patient on dialysis, we might need to do some changes as far as the dosing goes there. So if you ever see that diagnosis of chronic kidney disease, maybe stage 4, stage 5, you definitely might want to think about dosing of amoxicillin, and that we might need to alter that in that situation. Let's take a break here from our sponsor, MedEd101.com. Definitely go check out their test prep material resources. Lots of clinical pearls, great study material there available, whether it's pharmacist board exams like BCPS, BCGP, or NCLEX content. Also trying to expand our list for med students, nurse practitioners, and physician's assistants as well. So expanding material there, and go check them out at meded101.com/store. Let's finish up on drug interactions here. Amoxicillin usually doesn't have too many drug interactions that are clinically relevant, so that's a really nice thing. I will say warfarin's probably one that I've come across where I have seen elevations in INR due to starting amoxicillin. So it might be prudent to check that INR, 3 to 5 days after starting amoxicillin, just to make sure that that INR isn't getting too elevated and our blood isn't getting too thin and increasing the risk of bleeding and bruising and things of that nature. Allopurinol is one I wanted to mention. I remember, I think, being tested on this throughout pharmacy school at one point. Allopurinol may increase, it's kind of a unique drug interaction, it may increase the potential for allergic reaction, hypersensitivity, rash-type reactions. So I think that is important to kind of remember. It's not an all-out contraindication. It's not like we can't use these two together, but there is potential that it may increase that risk for a type of rash reaction. And one last one that I remember learning in school, there isn't a ton of clinical utility, is probenecid. Probenecid is actually used in the management of gout and can help lower uric acid levels. However, they found that it can actually increase concentrations of amoxicillin. And in the olden days, many, many years ago, they may have actually utilized this to increase levels of amoxicillin kind of strategically to help improve treatment management of infections and get those blood levels up higher. So, but keep in mind, with higher blood levels may come an increased risk of toxicity and adverse effects. So again, probenecid I hardly ever see used. I would say the allopurinol warfarin drug interactions are going to be a little bit more important to keep an eye out for, just because those drugs are used a little bit more often in real practice. So summing up today, amoxicillin, Augmentin, commonly used antibiotics, primarily for gram-positive infections. Augmentin may have a little bit more activity in the gram-negative arena. Clinical monitoring is important. Recognition of bacterial versus viral infection is very important, particularly in those upper respiratory tract infections. Drug interactions, generally not too much of an issue with Augmentin and amoxicillin. Allopurinol, warfarin might be a couple to keep in mind there. And for more information, again, reallifepharmacology.com. I've got that top 200 study guide, absolute free resource. Go check that out. Get that free downloaded simply by following the podcast and getting updated when we've got new content and material available. So reallifepharmacology.com. Go check that out. Leave us a review rating on iTunes. That's greatly appreciated. And certainly spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your classmates, tell your professors, whoever. Share it by email, that type of thing about our podcast. That's how it's grown so much already, and I'm greatly appreciative of that. So take care. Have a great rest of your day. Hope you enjoyed the podcast.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.